Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bradford Show.
That's my open?
That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hit Bradford.
That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion.
Bradford Show. That's delicious.
Final hour on this Wednesday, hump day, April 1st, Mud at Night here on WEEI. He gets his own intro because it's Rob Bradford, WEEI.com, joining us in the Harbor One Hotline as we discuss actually some interesting stuff, and I would say most of it poor for the Boston Red Sox. And Rob joins us here again on the Harbor One Hotline. Rob, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, Mike Benansky. How are you?
Let's promote real quickly a Joe Kelly sit-down where I've seen the still shots. I've not seen the entire video, but you're wearing some sort of yellow, like Lance Armstrong biking shirt. Looks loud.
Oh, well, it's a series. It's actually a series. So this is my strategy to get through the week, which is to sit down with Joe Kelly for an hour a day, get about five blog entries off of each sit down, and have him say stuff that is outrageous. A little teaser for tomorrow's episode, by the way.
Sure.
The you know how you see these players in Korea wearing the surgical masks?
Yeah,
you know, you've seen some of them.
Yeah, not working, apparently, by the way.
Not working. And Joe Kelly said that if put to a vote, he doesn't think that players, even though they would get paid, would come back if they were asked to wear those masks. You know why?
Why?
Because they like chewing tobacco way too much, and they wouldn't be able to spit.
It's a sad state of affairs. I'm not sure I disagree with Joe Kelly's. We'll be checking out that series at WEEI.com. We'll start, Rob, you and your family safe, healthy, everyone good?
Yeah, everybody's pretty good. I do my routine, and I know you during your routine. And
so, yeah, get up and do the same day over and over again, Rob? That's the routine.
It's the same thing. It's cumbies, you know, and then head home for the rest of the day. So, but, you know, I think that the thing is, I was just talking to somebody about this, is that, you know, it's frustrating. Every day is frustrating, right? But yes, I do get the sense that people are sort of settling in into this is sort of what we're going to be doing for a while.
Ooh, wow.
Whereas you don't think so?
Well, I think what we're dealing with, maybe right now, but let me ask you this. So Andy and I talked about this a little while ago. The real test to me, Rob, is next Monday, everyone home, it's going to be 60-some-odd degrees, first nice day of the spring. Are people still as willing to stay home and not socially interact when it's a beautiful spring day in Boston? That's
my
question.
What's your definition of interacting? Can we walk around the neighborhood?
Well, yeah, people doing that already, but I'm saying the Common, which has been empty now for a couple of weeks, people downtown, people walking around and thinking, you know what, it's a nice day, I'm going to get near some people again. And by the way, some people day drinking because they're not working right now. I'll be interested to see how the East Coast deals with that next week. I know what you're saying, but the warm weather has me convinced that the distancing is going to have real tests in the next week or 10 days.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I wake up and I hope the sun is shining every day, because I'm telling you, it's miserable enough doing work in the basement, at least. But when it's raining out, it's even more miserable. It paints your whole mood and everything else. I just talked to a friend of mine down in Florida, and he was saying that, you know, that's a real problem, exactly what you're talking about. That a lot of people are out and about, they're playing golf, they're doing their thing, and they're sort of distancing, but they're not really distancing. And by the way, this is the same community Joe Castiglione's staying at right now.
Oh boy.
Yeah, but I know that Joe is locked down, but it is a different mindset. It was in Florida, there was always a different mindset. I could feel it when I came back from there and then came up here even a couple weeks ago. And so I think it's a very real thing. It's where you're right. I mean, that's going to be the next challenge. But I'll tell you what, like, I'm looking forward to the nice weather. If nothing else, I'd rather sit outside and do work than sit in my basement and do work.
Well, and we'll see if people can be responsible. You sound like you'll be able to do it, and I think many people will be, but it's a test once you can't really go outside, or you can't stay inside as much, and you can get outside with the warm weather. And you said, you know, every day people are getting up and, you know, they're dealing with it. The news not being good, the news is terrible across the board for the Red Sox, Rob. I mean, a bad offseason continues in the midst of this coronavirus, and I guess we'll start with the Alex Speer note, which took me by surprise yesterday. I had assumed that if baseball shut down, the season, the players would get their service time, as reported last week, and the teams would get the ability to their salary number count and the CBT number for the Red Sox to reset. Well, Alex, your old buddy, reported in the Globe yesterday that's not the case. And so if there's no baseball this year, they're just screwed, right? They get fined again. They get a repeat in 2021, and it pushes back the entire rebuild for the 2020-2021 Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, well, don't we siphon everything, all of this news, through Mookie Betts? Like, Betts is sort of the guy where you say, well, how's this going to affect Mookie Betts? How's that going to affect Mookie Betts? So when it comes out that they could not have an entire year and Mookie Betts would become a free agent and never play for the Dodgers, everyone around here is like, oh, that's great. He'll never play for the Dodgers. You got these players back and you can re-sign him. Well, you know, that kind of went out the window with this news, because you don't have the money to re-sign him. You don't have the money to do this sort of stuff that, you know, you thought you were going to be free and clear to do with after this year. It definitely is not good news when it comes to the Red Sox. The other part about it, Mont, which I wonder, is when we go into free agency next year, how much baseball and the owners will lean on, we lost so much money, we can't pay the same sort of salaries that we did before. And, you know, and everyone will say, well, the millionaires, they're billionaires, what do they have to worry about? I guarantee you, if you're a free agent, let's just say Mookie Betts, for instance.
Sure.
You go into free agency next year, like, you aren't getting the deal that you thought you were going to get. I guarantee that. And that's in large part because baseball will have lost a ton of money.
That's a great point. It doesn't really help the Red Sox, though, because theoretically, Rob, just so I have this right, they'd have to, again, if they want to reset their CBT number, they'd have to, again, be under the 208. They'd have players that are going to get service time, so some salaries are going to change. And, oh, by the way, their ace pitcher is going to miss a majority, if not all, of the season. So it's bad for the players, I guess, but for the Red Sox, there's no spinning it as a positive, correct?
Not at all. I mean, I'm not. It's not apples to apple. I mean, it's like you definitely the Red Sox, and you make a good point where you not only don't really have a bunch of people coming off the books, you have salaries going up. You have arbitration numbers going up, and you didn't get a deal done with. You know, that would have been interesting to me if they signed Devers to an extension, you know, did the whole Bregman thing where they push it off a year and then kick in. Well, you push it off a year for no reason. So there's no way around this for the Red Sox that they aren't going to have money to spend if there's no season. They better be praying there's some sort of season. But I do find that other part of it interesting across baseball. I'll give you an example. You know, J.D. Martinez can say, well, oh, this is great because I'll just wait a year. Now they're going to have a DH in the National League. I'll have all these places to have my services wanted. Well, good luck finding the same sort of money that you thought you were going to have, whether you can DH in the National League or not. This is just a part of the equation, but I think this is some of the stuff that we can start seeing now that we know are going to be issues going forward.
Yeah, we're talking to Rob Bradford, WEEI.com. He joins us here on the Harbor One Hotline. The Chris Sale thing, I didn't have a huge problem with. I know Glenn did. I know Andy Hart did. We yelled about it last night for a bunch here on two nights ago on this show. And I just think, look, the Red Sox found sort of a loophole, and they found someone willing to do it, a guy they liked, a guy who did Brady's knee, and Dr. Eletrage, and they did it in California. And, look, it was if they had just said This is the plan from the beginning. I don't think people would have had any pushback, and it was really kind of a muted pushback anyway here in Boston. But it seemed like they kind of got caught red-handed, Rob, where they weren't going to talk about it. Then Alex reported it, and so they were forced to go on a conference call. And sort of the way they, in my opinion, tried to hide it was kind of a weird look for them in a situation where I don't think they should have been embarrassed. The doctor was still doing it. The state's still doing it. And he's trying to get back and pitch. How did you see that entire thing with Sale and his surgery during this time?
Well, I to be honest with you, I can't get worked up over it. I can't get worked. I just am right or wrong. I just can't. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe this guy's having Tommy John surgery when, you know, we could be using that doctor in that space for other things. I just can't get that worked up over that one thing, because this is just how life is sometimes. If the doctor wants to do it, the doctor wants to do it. If the doctor wants to do it, then the team and the player is going to take advantage of it. But when you look at the timeline of what Alex reported, I mean, well, Alex reported that he had it. Now, I think that was like an hour before it ultimately was announced. But I was under the impression after the report, like, well, maybe he had it 2 days before.
Yeah.
No, he actually had it supposedly that day. So you're right. I mean, listen, like, we all were contacting the Red Sox. When's this going to happen? When's this going to happen?
I don't know. I don't know. No report. Yeah, like, that's what I mean. They tried to sort of hide the thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, then all of a sudden, boom, there it is. You know, he just flew out to Los Angeles and he had this surgery. But the overall theme, what you're talking about, what you're arguing with Andy and what Glenn was all upset over, I got to be honest with you, Umat. I can't. I know that we're supposed to tie all of this back to our state of the world right now. I can't get worked up over it.
And I just can't. I don't see a scenario where, as a specialist, you were actually taking him away from doing something on the front lines of fighting coronavirus. I could see a scenario where if you went to an actual hospital instead of a specialist office and did it, then maybe. But I'm with you. I wasn't there. The other thing, as it ties into coronavirus, Rob, we spent some time on this last week. I mean, baseball has really boxed themselves in, man, because the first line that we talked about, the three things that have to happen for baseball to come back, the teams and the players agreed upon. Number one is, you know, there are no stoppages and there are no rules against mass gatherings, and so Toronto, the city of Toronto, comes out and says no mass gatherings till June 30th, and that puts a huge shot at any sort of their plan of coming back in the month of June with fans. And you said last week that they weren't going to come back and play in 2020, and you know, I didn't agree at the time. I'm starting to come around to your line of thinking, especially if they're going to say, hey, we need fans to play games this season.
I think the Toronto, there might be a loophole there, but the overall message is, you know, there shouldn't be a loophole. Number one, it is or it isn't. But that was a wake up call to the timeline that we should be waking up to right now. This is not anytime soon. And really, you know, I think we talked about it last week, and I think it rings true more than ever. Baseball just comes off as so desperate. It whether it's Manfred or whoever, and you even go back to, and I know that nobody knew what was going on. You go back to the Red Sox conference call that Friday. It was it was 2 days after the last Red Sox spring training game, and they're doing their best to try to get a hold of it. But remember, I mean, Sam Kennedy said, you know, well, the plan is to make up the games at the after the year that we lose at the beginning of the year. And he doesn't know. I mean, in his defense, he doesn't know. But that shows you, like, that everybody, going to Manfred this last week, everybody is really, really trying to squeeze this season in. And I just don't see how it can happen. And I said this to you before, and this has become more and more prevalent. In Korea and Japan, they're trying to do the same thing with no fans, and they keep stopping and starting because a random player gets sick and they have to shut everything down.
And that's in baseball and basketball, Rob. The CBA in China can't get their basketball league going.
Exactly. And so, you know, that's what we should learn from. I talking to Dave Bush, the Red Sox pitching coach, the other day, and, you know, they said, you know, listen, we heard middle of May is maybe. No, and sure. So we have to prepare our pitchers for that. But I know that he probably doesn't think that. Nobody really thinks that. But when baseball throws that out there, you have to be prepared for it. Baseball shouldn't be throwing it out there.
Yeah, I'm okay.
I mean, they shouldn't be throwing out any timeline.
Yeah, you're right. It's like, you know, trying to say when a player is going to come back off an injury. When you do that, you end up making the player look bad, in some cases for no reason, if he misses that, you know, announced deadline to come back and play. So it doesn't feel great right now, and I'm going to stay positive, but it's a day-by-day thing. They should try to do whatever they can, but if they want fans in the ballparks, it seems very unlikely. Meanwhile, we'll end on this. There's a report today. You're, again, old friends of Bradford reporting all this stuff. Evan Drellick suggesting is these daily fantasy people, my people, Rob, who play daily fantasy baseball and are suing Major League Baseball for the cheating the Red Sox and Dodgers did, or Red Sox and Astros. There's a report that Major League Baseball is fighting because I guess the plaintiffs in the case have a copy of what the Reds, what they found on the 18 Red Sox. Baseball hasn't announced it yet, and they're trying to keep that from becoming public record in court. What the hell is going on with the Red Sox decision? They said they have it. Why have they not made this thing public yet?
Well, we talked about that before, and it said, you know, well, you can look at it a couple different ways about, well, you know, you don't want to drop something in the middle of all the chaos. We talked about the distraction. This isn't the same sort of distraction as the NFL draft or NFL free agency, or you're supposedly in the middle of the season, and all of a sudden, the one thing that you're going to enact is this ruling. So you could look at it that way. But I will say this, is that baseball's so reactionary about everything. You know, we know that they're probably going to react to whatever the NBA does. That's the next time they're going to react to something. So if they feel like anything's going to be leaked out along these lines, all of a sudden, Rob Manfred's going to find the time to put pen to paper to write that report, like really, really quickly, because they don't want to. They want to get out ahead of this, and maybe that's the thing that will make them do it. And now that they said that they don't have time to do it and they don't want to do it now, and they do it because of this report, that's an even worse look for baseball. So yeah, it is amazing though, Mutt. You talk, and I know Ken wrote about this, about the winners and losers. But you think about the Houston Astros and, you know, to a certain extent, the Red Sox with the cheating stuff.
Sure.
I mean, especially the Astros. Like, they were everything. They were everything that was baseball in the first month of spring training. And now nobody could care less about the Houston Astros.
Well, they were going to get punished all year. The beanball stuff, the different websites had the odds on how many times an Astro would get hit. I mean, it was outrageous. They were despised. And now, you know, it's tough to despise anybody right now. It's a weird time in our country. But it feels like, I mean, baseball as a sport, Rob, as I'm sure you can tell, it's so far off the radar right now for so many people that it just doesn't. It doesn't exist other than Rob Manfred suggesting, hey, they'll try to get back and play at some point.
Well, I can't remember if I told you this, but like this little wonky like website talk. But, you know, we see obviously the numbers, and we see what people like want to read and what they don't want to read. And it's pretty remarkable how people are tuning out. They don't care. The news has come out about baseball. They don't really care about baseball. What they do, the sport that people really are diehard about is hockey. I think that the hockey fans, more than basketball fans, more than baseball fans, two sports, all these sports are supposed to be going on right now. The hockey fans really, really probably miss their sport more than any of these other sports.
Well, and the Bruins, the Bruins had a great shot to win the Cup this year if they go for it.
So that's probably part of it too. Yeah, so. But it's just all interesting to me. And by the way, have you, and I would imagine you have talked about the whole NFL draft thing.
Sure.
Like, should they or shouldn't they?
We yelled about it all night. Schefter freaked out. We said, calm down, Adam. Let's draft. Let's go.
And we can tie this to baseball coming back if you want, but it is unbelievable that anyone would think that it's not a good idea to have the NFL draft.
Yeah, as Andy said, it seems like he's doing the bidding for the GMs. They don't want to do it because they're up against it, so he's making that public without saying it's really them who doesn't want it, because it's not hurting anyone. It's not taking any doctors away from front lines fighting COVID-19. And as you know, Rob, people want the distraction, and we want the content. So I'm rooting for it to happen. I know you are as well, and I'm rooting for you in a bright yellow shirt with Joe Kelly tomorrow.
If we don't have this, all we have is a quarantine with the Kellys and South Korean baseball. All those two things.
Well, keep an eye. Rob, I'm going to give you a little heads up. Put somebody on tomorrow. There's a huge push-up contest that is going to dominate the internet tomorrow. So if you have any info, reach out to me. You should put a writer on that tomorrow. It's going to be a huge hit on social media. Keep
the biggest
on
one since you versus Pedroia?
Even bigger than that, Bradford. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Rob Bradford joining us in the Harbor One Hotline. And as for the Red Sox, man, they are buried with a capital B if they cancel the season. Now, a shortened season would allow them to still get under the CBT for next year and probably, you know, I think if you had to ask them under a little truth serum, and Tom Werner's not saying, let's go Red Sox, in a very weird voice, they'd say, in order, we'd like it to happen this way. Short season, long season, no season at all, in that order. And that short season allows the CBT number to reset. It protects their players and gets them back and refocused to 2021.
Let's go Red Sox.
Thank you, Tom. A no season means they're absolutely buried. And people might not care either way, but if you care about baseball in this town and it being relevant, you are desperate to get some sort of baseball this year for this team. Meanwhile, there was a good team in 2018, the Red Sox in 18, won the World Series. We are going to be starting tomorrow night re-airing the 2018 Red Sox playoffs here on WEEI. It's called Red Sox Classics. It'll start with Red Sox and Yankees, game one of the ALDS, a game the Red Sox won. So we'll do our show tomorrow 6 to 7, then get into the game itself with a little bit of retrospective of the season with myself and Lou Maloney throughout the course of the game. And the plan is to involve some other special guests as the playoff run goes on here and bring you a little bit something different during these times here on Mutt at Night and right here on WEEI and across, I believe, the WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. I think I heard today almost a full load of affiliates taking the 3-hour broadcast from 7 to 10. So I got to get used to saying that again. On the Shaws and Star Markets, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. A little out of practice there, Nick. I'm going to have to work on that tomorrow. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get a quick trending in here. We'll come back to your phone calls on all this stuff, and we'll get to, unabashedly one of my favorite Patriots ever on the station today with some pretty good stories to tell. We'll get to that as well. Mutt at Night here on WEEI.
Now, Mutt at Night on WEEI.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River.
This song is played two more times today during breakfast at the Manansky House with the boys yelling, Alexa, play Country Roads. Country Roads, Take Me Home by John Denver. Thank you, Alexa. It's Mutt at Night until 10 o'clock. Mark with AC James until midnight. Your calls all night at 617-779-7937. Just had almost an altercation here with our producer Nick in studio. We'll explain that in a second. First, though, Wally's in Fall River on the sport of baseball, which is in a brutal spot right now. Wally, how are you?
Right. The situation we're in right now, it's global. It's not just the United States. But we've got a plague. We don't have a pandemic. I mean, we don't know when it's going to end, and we had conflicting reports. I mean, it just seems to snowball what's going on. But, as far as baseball, you just wonder, even if they come back June 1st or the 15th, would it be a continuous thing of the old schedule? How would the playoff format be? But I just don't see them. I mean, even if they do come back, people aren't going to have the money to go to sporting events, Mark. They're going to want to pay their bills. You got to think of the little guy with a wife, three kids, a mortgage, car payments. I mean, people are draining their bank accounts right now just to stay afloat.
Well, hey, Wally, that's what I mean. If they come back, I don't think they'll have the fans involved. I know baseball says they want to, but that last point you just made is something I hadn't thought of. They might be better off for a year or a shortened season just playing on TV so that people don't spend money at games and do it that way, because I had not thought about that, Wally, and it's I like when a caller brings up a point I have not thought of before, and that's the financial impact of going to games physically. Like, Bruins and Celtics games are wildly expensive. Red Sox games cost an arm and a leg. Football is crazy. So, I mean, maybe we'll look back and laugh at this comment when we get to September, but, I mean, people are going to be out of work for a while. I saw one report today that said last week 4% of the Massachusetts workforce filed for unemployment last week, one of the highest numbers in the country. We'll have new numbers again tomorrow. We get them every Thursday for unemployment. If people are out of work, they aren't gonna have, not gonna forget the time to think about going to games. They won't be able to afford games. And I honestly had not thought about that part of it. So if you want another reason why these teams should be worried about playing on TV only and trying to get some of their revenue back that way, that's a great point by Wally. Because I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday, but Danzen, this new up-and-coming sports network, said, we're not paying our broadcast partners in sports, and they do some baseball stuff, for any games postponed or canceled due to the coronavirus. They're going to pay on a, you air it, we'll pay for it basis. So that's a rough spot to put these leagues in. And so you want to play? You have to do it without fans. As Wally said, good point about the money. Meanwhile, we ended up, Nick came in and he's like, oh, which Ty Law cut do you want? I said, Ty Law, nice player, but he is no Wes Welker. And as a short white guy, yes, I relate to someone like Wes Welker, who has owned horses in his while he played, so I like that. Before he saw Dr. Leonard, had a hair issue. He's fixed that since then. And he's always been a guy that I've enjoyed. And so Wes Welker was on the Greg Hill Show today. We listened bright and early at 8:30, and part of the conversation there talked about not being all that surprised about Tom Brady going somewhere else than the Patriots.
I did want to start by asking you if you were surprised by his decision.
Not necessarily, but you kind of hate to see it. Just because he's been there for so long, it's going to be strange seeing them in a different uniform and all those different things. But I wouldn't say I was surprised.
I don't think anyone's surprised. And he gets onto a longer answer on Belichick that we'll get to in a second. But once we got a couple weeks into it, you may not have wanted Brady to go, but you're not surprised at this point. You could not have been, given all the stuff that was reported about their relationship with Belichick, the relationship with the Patriots, and what he was looking for versus what the Pats could give him. So not a surprise there. He did insight that I've never heard given before. So Brady, people that around Brady have been asked this question a lot this week. We asked Kurt Warner last night about what makes him the best. And Welker was asked specifically about the 07 team and when he realized that team was a special team. Cut 76, Nick.
I feel like we had an idea that spring a little bit. But I think really through training camp and really having that first game against the Jets, we felt like, I think the Cowboys game is when it kind of got real. I think at that point it made us like 7-0 or something. I feel like 7-0, it was kind of like, okay, like, we're actually pretty damn good. There are a couple points where you thought it was there. But I feel like the Cowboys game where it was a hard-fought game, back and forth. We kind of pulled away at the end. The Cowboys were undefeated at the time. And we felt, I think we felt we had something real there.
Ended up being a great season. Couldn't quite close the deal, but a monster year. And Welker and Moss, obviously, huge parts of that. And then finally, they asked a couple questions on Belichick. Good job by those guys. And, Welker basically admits that, yes, it was different playing elsewhere than it was playing for Bill Belichick.
Maybe a little bit, I was still upset about it. I did want to be there, but there was part of me that, I just like enjoying the game. I enjoy having fun. I enjoy all those things. And, coaching now, you learn a lot from, kind of the tactics and different things like that. But at the same time, putting your own twist on it and understanding, I tell my guys all the time, as long as we're giving great effort and we're on top of our assignments, like, we're going to be good. Like, as soon as one of those things is not where it needs to be, like, that's when we got problems. And so, kind of being there and there's a big mental aspect to the game of, yes, being prepared, being this, being that, all those different things, but also enjoying yourself and having fun playing the game. I feel like you're playing your best ball when everybody's having fun and enjoying themselves. And, you know, I think there were some times where I didn't really feel that at times, you know, for different reasons. The guys that we had in the locker room, the camaraderie that we had, was better some years than others, and all these different things. And, you know, when you're one of the more highly paid players on the team, like, you're expected to deliver like a highly paid player. And, you know, there's definitely pressure on that. There's definitely, you know, all these different things that, you know, is tough and it's hard. And you know, Coach Belichick's hard on guys and trying to get the most out of them that he can.
Just a lengthy, in-depth, laying down on the couch with Dr. Melfi answer from Wes Welker. And you can tell there's a lot more there he didn't even say, but, you know, it was more fun elsewhere. You know, wasn't always as fun there in New England. And obviously, one of the times he got slapped in the wrist, he made the foot jokes and about Rex Ryan, ended up missing some time in that game against the Jets the following week. That could not have been a fun time for him, knowing he was supposed to be out there with his teammates and didn't play early on in that game. And so that is certainly one of them. And look, I'm a huge Wes Welker fan. I think, in my opinion, he gets unfairly not criticized, or just he gets labeled as the guy who didn't make that one catch, is what he gets labeled as. And when you look at his numbers, they're freaking unbelievable. Like, we had this big conversation this year where a couple of people around these parts made the argument, and I think it's a false argument, okay? I think it is fanboy radio to an extent, that Julian Edelman is an NFL Hall of Famer. Okay, that topic came up on the station. I fought Wiggy about that. I fought callers on that. I fought fans on that. I fought other hosts on that, okay? Edelman can't sniff Wes Welker's numbers. I mean, okay, let's do a quick check, shall we? First year in New England, 112 catches, 1,100 yards receiving. Second year in New England, 111 catches, 1,100 yards receiving. Year three in New England, 123 for catches, 1,348 receiving. Year four, he got hurt, obviously only 86. Came back in year five, 122. Year six, 118. Somehow didn't lead the league. Can you look up in 2012 who led the league in catches? How did he not lead the league in catches? 118. 3 out of 5 years, that guy led the NFL in catches. Yes, he played with Brady, but he was always getting himself open. He made ridiculous catches, as tough as nails. And Edelman's all those things. Edelman is all those things. I'm not trying to compare the toughness of either guy. But the guy who set the stage for Edelman to be Edelman was Welker. There's no doubt in my mind. 112, 111, 123, 86 in only... how many games was that? Well, he didn't play 15 games then. He only started 11. So 2010, weird year there. I should remember what that was. Did he get hurt early? And was that the year they brought him back slowly and he started losing snaps to Edelman? I'm not sure. I have to go back and double check. 122 in 2011, and his last year here, 118 catches for almost 1,500 yards. Who led the league in catches in 2012?
Calvin Johnson.
How many?
122.
Oh, so he missed it by 4 to a Hall of Famer.
And he was tied with Brandon Marshall for second.
Marshall had 118 with Denver? Oh.
Actually, he was with the Bears.
He was? I would not have remembered that.
Also, Edelman doesn't have a 99-yard touchdown.
Okay, that's a nice little thing there. That's a big time. I mean, he doesn't have that. He just doesn't have the stats. And sorry to go off mic for a second as I try to pull up Edelman's stats for a second. Like, he's not there. He has two 100 catch seasons. Never led the league in catches. And that's just sort of the beginning of it. He only has 3 1,000-yard receiving seasons. I know he did other things, good kick returner, obviously in the running game, had a touchdown pass or two in his career. But, I mean, to me, Edelman set the stage for Welker, and he was just better. He's just better. And by the way, he went to Denver after that and had 73 catches in 13 games. and then for good measure played 8 games the next year and still had 49 catches in an 8-game season. Still averaged almost 5 yards a catch. And for the record, go look at his playoff game log. I mean, I understand that he had the drop that everyone pins on him and they hold him to that. But, you know, in 2008, first 3 games, 9, 7, 11 catches in that. I know. 11 for 103 in that Super Bowl. In the Jet loss, 7 for 57. The following year, not great, 6, 6, and 7 receptions. Still, 6 or more receptions in all 3 playoff games that year. 8 for 131, 8 for 117 in 2012. 2013 with the Broncos, pretty decent run there too. So in his playoff career, I mean, he never had fewer than 6 catches in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 3, 6, 7, 8, 9. In 9 playoff games, he never had fewer than 6 catches in a playoff game for the Patriots. God, he was good. And because of the one drop he had, that was, again, not a great throw by Brady. Sorry, Tom Brady Sr.
Let him a little bit too much.
Sorry, Giselle. Sorry, Curtis. Not a great throw. Are we allowed to say that during this Brady week? Are we allowed to say not his best throw?
We're about to get a call from the higher-ups.
Mark Hanna, I'm sorry. I criticized Brady. My bad. So, God love Wes Welker. I own the old red throwback Wes Welker jersey. Wear it like once a year. Like Halloween, 2 years in a row with the kids. Just put it on with some eye black and said, hey, I'm a football player. I miss Wes. Good. If you missed him on demand today, go check him out on WEEI.com with the morning show. We'll take a break, come back, tell you about our big event tomorrow night here at the station, WEEI.
Now back to Mud at Night on WEEI.
Oh, if you missed the early portion of the show here on Mud at Night, we thank you for tuning in no matter when you tune in, but you missed Andy Hart in the first half hour of the show with one of the most ridiculous mathematical answers I've ever heard in my life. Ever, 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 ever. And you got to go listen on demand at WEEI.com. If you listen to anything, go listen to the first segment tonight. We get to the end of the first segment, so at the end of the first hour, it's already posted, and we're talking about this push-up contest tomorrow. And ask Andy Hart how many push-ups you might be able to do in 12 hours. His answer is insane and makes me believe his brain doesn't actually compute math. Might be a smart guy, I guess. He's gotten this far in life. He's 41 and has a job in media, so I guess he might have a brain. But, I mean, we may open with that tomorrow. I may open the show tomorrow where people guess, like, how off Andy Hart was. I mean, Nick was cackling when he gave the answer. Cackling! Go listen the first half hour of today's show on demand at WEEI.com, the radio.com app, or do what I do. Go to iTunes, search Mud at Night, subscribe, leave a nice rating, and listen on demand hourly to the show with no commercials. Tomorrow's show, a little bit different. 6 to 7, normal Mud at Night. Tommy Kern will join us, talk about the 20 years he spent covering Tom Brady. As part of Brady Week here on WEEI, presented by our friends at Samuel Adams. After that, at 7, opening night, Red Sox Classics. Red Sox supposed to have their home opener tomorrow. No. No baseball for a while. So you got Red Sox Classics 2018. Red Sox open up the playoff against the Yankees. We'll have the game for you here on WEEI with some added commentary, a little bonus footage, a little bonus audio for some people involved, myself and others. That's tomorrow at 7, but be here at 6 for Mud at Night. Nicely produced, Nick LaPan. Nick's talking to me a couple days off, finally.
And yeah, I finally got my vacation.
Our show will change for a couple weeks here, Nick, with the Red Sox Classic. So let me just say it now for everybody. Excellent job these last couple weeks filling in for Ben. And by the way, I said it to the boss the other day in front of you, introduced you to our boss.
The big, big boss.
And said how great of a job you're doing. No thank you, no nothing from you.
Your card's in the mail.
You don't even care. I'm trying to help this kid's career. Saying how great he is. You want some Ty Law sound, Mutt?
Hey, Ty Law's up there for great.
Not as good as Wes Welker. We'll debate later. Mark with the C. James is next. Taking your call, 617-779-7937. Tommy Kerr tomorrow at 6:30. Mutt at Night. Goodbye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.